Now, and only now, does Timora's luck shrivel and reveal that you were, in fact, cursed by Bashaba instead. Welcome back to Lewis's Guide to Monsters, where I do a quick conceptual dive into some of the most iconic monsters and obscure creatures in the Dungeons & Dragons settings. This installment is about the Red Dragon. These winged juggernauts appear reptilian until you see one moving on the ground. At this point, they begin to move like oversized cats, lifting one forefoot and the opposing hind foot at a time. Larger examples, tending, however, to just lumber along. And much like cats, they know that they are better than you. Of the typical chromatic dragon types, no group exemplifies this disdain quite like the Reds do. Being the largest and most magically gifted of the chromatic lineup, a Red Dragon is a fierce opponent. With flight speed starting lazily at 20 miles per hour and up to a blistering 60 miles an hour, a Red Dragon will chase down almost any prey it sets its eyes on. Coupled with the fact a Red Dragon, in its fifth decade, will have a larger wingspan than most every dragon that has not yet seen its first millennium, makes this a stupendous sight to behold. The identifying marks of a Red Dragon are not limited to the red scales that adorn its body, nor just their infamous ability to spit large gouts of fire almost at will. The scales darken as it grows from a bright scarlet as a wormling, losing their glossy sheen and dulling in hue as the scales harden like iron. Further identifiers include the pair of dark rear-facing horns atop of its head, with smaller horns crowning the cheek and chin. More striking still is the large frill that runs down the spine of the back of the head to the tip of the tail. Typically, red dragons will find a cave in a mountain or range of mountains to survey all below it. Deeper in the cave, ideally, is volcanic or other heated activity, where its immunity to the heat of fire provides a defensive measure against intruders and also provides the incubation requirements for their eggs. Despite being the most covetous of all true dragons, red dragons love most current information on other dragons, particularly other reds. Red dragons are cautious of their own kind above others, and will be tested by younger reds in the area to remain as highly ranked as they are. Even when courting, there is a layer of suspicion as to whether an older specimen will simply attack a younger one out of distrust. So highly do reds think of themselves as the apex of dragonkind, if neighboring reds hear that one shows itself to be weak, they decree it no longer deserves all that it has amassed and will attack and raid its lair to nothing. When encountering red dragons, you will most likely be ambushed by one in the wilds as it hunts, preferably for human or elven young. Should you find a cave lair, you may be in a small amount of luck, as it is rare, but not improbable, that reds cave together. And if there are young that have hatched, the parent, if any, will leave them to fend for themselves. Egg clutches, as normal for dragons, are about 2 to 5 eggs. But let us talk about these eggs for a while, as an unhatched egg will be worth a lot to the right buyer. But this isn't like egging from a farmer's henhouse, no. You need to work for your money. Let us assume you have a contract from a patron to acquire a clutch of these eggs. A fire giant might offer several thousand gold pieces per egg to use as slaves when they grow, and you have the luck of Timora. So when you arrive at the location, there are exactly 5 eggs, unhatched, and the parent is out. Well, the first issue is the size of the cave. It'll never just be one large, indefensible room. More likely, a large cave ends in a pit nearly 50 yards wide and 100 yards deep, with the eggs resting near the dragon's treasure. You might assume the problem is a simple descent, but likelier still is the descent is the easiest part of the whole ordeal. As you reach midway down the shaft, the heat becomes unbearable. It was hot at the mouth of the cave, so the cleric cast Endure Elements. But here, the heat is so intense, the spell offers no protection. Breathing alone causes physical damage to your lungs and throat, and every few minutes you linger here, you get more and more exhausted. And if that wasn't enough, the temperatures required to keep the eggs alive melts potassium and causes all metal you hold and wear to be affected as if by the heat metal spell. But you get there. You see the eggs. They are resting in a clear stream of water coming in from one wall and out the other side of the cave. Do not swim in this. It is still hot enough to burn even a legendary hero to death in seconds. Even if you could wade up to the eggs, you see now that they are a full 4 feet in height, and each one weighs the same as the paladin's full plate and shield they had to discard for the heat. Now, and only now, does Timora's luck shrivel and reveal that you were, in fact, cursed by Bashaba instead. One of the eggs hatch. Newborn and seeing light for the first time, the wormling is as large as a man, stronger than a gnoll, and ready to hunt. Tired, wounded, and disarmed as you all are, you barely manage to prevail, and begin to retreat up the ropes you came down on. You can almost breathe again, when one by one, the ropes snap and you fall. Once more into the superheated hell you chose. Grateful for the new waft of air despite knowing its cause, the parent lands in its nest to see you and one of its young bloodied from your fight. The beast opens its onslaught with a breath of flame that can melt stone. After many hours, you are the only one of the original party to eventually claw their way out of the shaft, having been only one of two to survive the fight with the parent. Of the two, you are the only one to endure the rocks lining the shaft, burning the flesh from your fingers. Daylight. Cool mountain air plays on your face. As you limp to the cave mouth, feeling as though Bashaba's had her fun and you have prevailed, you hear it. Above you are two younger reds arguing in flight, neither one risking being the first bitten. Their argument is as to which should claim the lair you have entered. They are many scores of yards away, but they see you, a mere speck in the cave mouth, as fast as you saw the crimson flyers. They decide, unheard to your ears, that the one who catches you alive first may keep the lair. Now, I went into some concepts there that I feel are very important to Run Dragons as I see them. First of which is that the land itself is not in your favor. The heat and inaccessibility are both defensible tools an intelligent creature such as a red dragon would also enjoy. Dragons do not exist in a vacuum. They have neighbors on all sides, and these neighbors are watching at all times for a single moment of weakness to abuse and get a higher status amongst their peers. Of all the creatures in high fantasy roleplay games, red dragons have earned their space where they hold, and I love them for all their might and majesty in all the stories that we tell together. I hope you enjoyed today's guide. If you liked what you heard and have suggestions for the guide, or rambling ramblers in general, you can get in contact with me and Faith directly on our Discord, The Cairn. I also host regular virtual tabletop games there as well. The link to the Discord will be in our podcast profile. We hope to see you there.
Special thanks to Reichelt for sprucing up our cute little logo and to Tim from TabletopAudio.com for our intro and outro music. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we will see you next time.